So Senate Minority Whip Trent Lott announced yesterday that he will resign his post in the Senate before the end of this year. The senator has been a fixture on Capitol Hill for 35 years, but his career was interrupted in 2002 when he was forced to step down from his post as Senate Majority Leader after he made controversial comments that appeared to endorse segregation. He made those comments at a birthday party for Senator Strom Thurmond. Last December, though, Lott was essentially redeemed when his colleagues elected him as Minority Whip. Lott is the sixth Republican to announce plans to step down during this election cycle. Here to talk through all of this, the senator's resignation, what it means for the GOP, is John Harris, editor-in-chief of Politico.com. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us.
Absolutely.
So, question, why would a guy who ran for Senate in 2006, whose term doesn't end until 2012, leave office a year later? I mean, he's number two, seniority, leadership. Sounds like he's got a good thing going on.
Well, it does. There's a lot of speculation now. Senator Lott said this is not the reason, but I think, frankly, some of us at Politico have our doubts that maybe it is the reason that he wants to make a lot of money while he still can. There is a new rule that goes into effect that says at the new year that says senators need to wait longer before they can start lobbying once they leave the Senate. If he leaves now, before the end of the year, that rule does not apply to him. And so the timing seemed more than coincidental.
So he could start in January 1?
Really make some bucks.
Jan 1, he could start as a lobbyist?
No, he still has some what are called revolving door provisions. He can't go in and out immediately. But come January 2009, so not that far away, he could he'd have all those prohibitions lifted. He could do whatever he wants. And there's no question a guy like Lott, who's been in Washington for many years, knows the system very well, could make a lot of money.
Is this something he has intimated that he's interested in doing?
Well, he's been kind of vague. He says he's got some business opportunities out there. Some talk in Washington that he'll go into business with his son, who is already a pretty well-connected lobbyist, and the two of them would really have quite a high-powered shop, or even more high-powered if the deal works, that he would go into business with former Louisiana Senator John Breaux. He's a Democrat who made the same leap a few years ago, said, look, you know, being a senator is fine, but I need to make some serious money while I can. He did that and is one of Washington's top lobbyists, very, very well compensated and still very much in the middle of the action.
I mean, we can't begrudge these people. They don't, you know, they don't make like gazillions of dollars, right?
Well, they do when they leave.
And they get book deals like Ted Kennedy.
So can we talk a little bit about what Lott's legacy is, if anything? I mean, in 2002, he was pushed out of the leadership position after he made these controversial comments at Strom Thurmond's birthday party. And then he kind of made a pretty significant comeback. He was kind of pushed down for a couple of years, marginalized a little bit. And then he was back at the top of his game, elected to the number two position. How did that happen?
Well, you know, Lott has something in common, I'd say, with Bill Clinton. And that is that they are both survivors. They are both sort of the ultimate comeback artists in politics, both, incidentally, Southern politicians of roughly the same generation.
Who actually had a history of working together quite closely, actually, right?
They liked each other they shared the same consultant, by the way, back in the 1990s, Dick Morris. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Now you see him on Fox News. But in those days, he was talking and consulting with both Clinton and Lott. I think, you know, that episode in 2002 with Strom Thurmond clearly is something that's going to be in any, you know, obit that's written someday about Trent Lott. But I would say inside Washington, he has a different reputation. He's somebody that really loves the game, knows the game, and always manages to maneuver and protect his self-interest. So, you know, I think a typical politician probably would have quit after that humiliation. Lott refused to do that. I wonder if some of his motive was, look, I'm going to come back, prove that I can do it, and then at that point I'd be happy to step down.
John, is he the kind of politician who has actual friends, real friends within the Senate and within the Congress, or does he have relationships?
Interesting question. I would say he probably is more toward the relationship end of the spectrum. No permanent friends, no permanent enemies, only interests pursue.
Where does this, I mean, he's now the sixth Republican to step down in this current election cycle. What does this mean? We're in the business of speculation, I guess, to a certain degree.
Well, it means that Republicans, for a whole bunch of reasons, and this is one more reason, are going to have a very hard time being competitive in the 2008 elections with decent prospects for taking back their majorities. The majorities they lost in 2006, it's going to be very difficult. Public opinion's not great. Fundraising's not great. And now you've got this this problem, which is a number of their politicians are stepping down. It's going to be hard for the party to recruit people who are politicians of equivalent stature.
But
why are they leaving? All these reasons reinforce each other. Being in the minority is no fun, especially if you've had power as the majority. Having to raise money and having it come in, trickle in, is no fun. A lot of people saying to heck with it.
Mm-hmm. Even someone like Lott, who's at the top of the leadership, is as high as you can get under the current situation with the Republicans in the minority, just said, you know, it's time for me to go.
Right. He is age 66, after all.
It's true. He's had a long career, you know, bigger and better things. But his particular seat is, would you say that's in jeopardy? I mean, he won pretty overwhelmingly, right?
Republicans are really in jeopardy if they can't pick up a Senate seat in Mississippi.
And is there anyone standing in line to take over his seat?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, this replacement will be selected by Governor Haley Barbour. And, you know, what was his former job? Lobbyist. So it just this goes to show how intertwined lobbying and elective office now is. It's an easy to step back and forth. Barbour is apparently looking at a House member. His name escapes me right now.
Is it Chip Pickering? Is that right?
Yeah, that's the guy. Right. And there is some talk that Pickering's going to have to change his own plans. He was planning on leaving the House and becoming a lobbyist. But
it all ties in, doesn't it? Well, John Harris, thank you so much. He's the editor-in-chief of Politico.com. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks a lot. Talk to you guys later.
Coming up on the Bryant Park Project, was a huge rock star, became a political activist, stayed a political activist. The folks at the Seattle Weekly said, you're kind of smart. Want to come write a column for us? So Chris Novoselic, formerly of Nirvana, the newest blogger at the Seattle Weekly.
Wow.
We spoke to him. We also spoke to him about that MTV Unplugged of Nirvana from 14 years ago,
yeah.
Released on DVD.
Oh, that's cool.
It is.
Hey, I went
cool.
to college in that area. They're my band.
Those are my people.
We're also going to talk about a disturbing report out of Washington, D.C. about HIV/AIDS rates and what that means for that community and efforts to quell that problem. That's all coming up here on the BPP from NPR News.